I think Kadri's going to play an elevated role with the Flames. Like, I think he'll be first guy over the boards in a lot of situations for the team. I'm not sure kind of how to make it look, because last year, you know, you've got Tkachuk and Gaudreau playing alongside Lindholm. Like, is that going to be how it works again this year?
Welcome back to the show. It's the Big Show in the Morning. We're into hour number three and a bit tardy, so I'll start it off with an apology. My name is Matt Rose. He's Danny Austin, and down the guest hotline for Alice Pizza and Sports Bar, we are joined by Mike McKenna from the Daily Faceoff, and does all the shows with Frank Saravalli. You know him from that throughout the course of the regular season, and we are gearing up for the regular season. Mike, hello. How are you, my man?
I am doing well. You know, it's a sunny day in St. Louis, Missouri. I've already been on the ice once coaching our Warrior team here, which is comprised of veterans that have all served in the military with a 10% or greater disability rating, and do that every week. So, tell you what, that's a great way to start the day on the ice. And now we're talking to you, ready to crank out an article for Daily Faceoff and get the day going.
Wow, so you've kind of filled up your bucket doing some good Samaritan-type work, and now you have to chat with us bums before you do the real hard work. That's a day right there. You're going to be done by noon.
I talk to bums all the time, you know. It's just it's my daily life. But, it's not, to me, it's not good Samaritan work as much as it just feels almost like kind of my duty to give back to those guys. So, man, it's fun to be on the ice with them. You know, these are adults with the Warrior team that a lot of them have learned hockey later in life. And, you know, just getting a chance to teach a game and get to enjoy it with them as they grow it's a lot of fun. It's almost as fun as coaching my kids.
How many of those guys have you got out there on a sort of weekly basis?
So we have four teams now in the St. Louis area. We have an Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, and Delta team, according to age and ability, and several others on a waiting list. We have just about 100 players in our area alone. Warrior hockey is growing all throughout North America. In the United States, it's sanctioned by USA Hockey, so it's become a pretty big thing. But we're also seeing teams now pop up in Canada, and it's become an international type of thing. And it's great to see, man. These are people that really they bonded over having a troop, a platoon, a unit, and now they get to do the same thing in a locker room.
It's really cool to see, and I'm going to keep my eyes peeled for more information on that as well, as it does continue to expand. It's been a fun offseason, Mike. Let's start with the Flames, because it's been a little while since we've had you on the show, but just maybe a thought on what Brad Treliving has been able to do over the course of the offseason. It's been quite the roller coaster.
I'm so impressed with what Brad Treliving's done. I thought that he got dealt just about the toughest hand you could imagine at the start of the offseason. I mean, first with Johnny Gaudreau leaving in free agency and the entire lead up to it, where it was a real heartbreaker deal. You know, it went down to the wire. It wasn't like the Tkachuk situation where Matthew Tkachuk said, "Hey man, I'm not feeling it, man. I'm not going to stay in Calgary. I want out." Okay. So Treliving rolls up the sleeves, gets to work, and, you know, if you're losing a franchise type of player like Tkachuk, you have to bring in talent to replace that, because Calgary's not going into a rebuild, right? Like, this is a team that just couldn't afford to do that after having such a strong season, having a coach in place that's got them to win. And, you know, they managed to go out and get Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar and a first-round pick. Like, that was huge for me. And I know you're losing Gaudreau, you're losing Weegar, but the fact that Treliving was able to pull this off and still be able to retain even, you know, Oliver Shillington, you know, he sticks around now because of this with his new deal. You're able to keep Andrew Mangiapane in the mix. Like, I can't say that the Calgary Flames got better. I can't say that. But I really believe that this is a team that didn't get worse, and I would have never expected that with Johnny Gaudreau out of the mix. And you're getting a player who I thought at times last year in Huberdeau was deserving of the Hart Trophy. I thought he was fantastic last year. I don't like that he's 29 years old and he signed to a long-term deal, but that's the price you have to pay to keep talent in-house when you're in a mode where you want to win. And I think that Calgary still has that chance that if they can lock down the defense a little bit and play a little more structured in playoff time, they can be a threat. And Mackenzie Weegar, if they can lock him up, that's a big piece of the puzzle.
I always kind of go back and forth as to how I think the season's going to begin for the Calgary Flames, because when a team goes through this much offseason change, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Daryl Sutter being at the helm makes me think that it will work, understanding that the players that have been brought in are veterans like Kadri and Huberto and Uyghur makes me think that it will work. But at the same time, you never really know when there's this many moving parts. So do you kind of lean one way or the other as far as how long it might take this thing to hit the ground?
Yeah, you know, I feel that too, especially when we're talking about Kadri. You know, you're coming in after winning a Stanley Cup and really at that on that team playing a secondary role. I think Kadri's going to play an elevated role with the Flames. Like, I think he'll be first guy over the boards in a lot of situations for the team. I'm not sure kind of how to make it look because last year, you know, you've got Tkachuk and Gaudreau playing alongside Lindholm. Like, is that going to be how it works again this year? I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure if it's not Kadri going with Huberto and whoever they choose to put on the right side with that group. So I think the chemistry factor might be something to keep an eye on with Calgary. But the talent is there and the structure is there. That's the biggest thing is that when you look at the coaching staff and what Daryl Sutter does, he's been there long enough now that this team knows how they need to play. They have not lost a large number of players. Have they lost core players? Yeah, absolutely. But realistically, most of the people in that lineup were there last year. And I think that's going to make things easier on Huberto, Uyghur, Kadri when they filter into the lineup that they just have to pick up on the nuances of the system and their teammates to make it work. Give it a grace period, though. Those first 2 weeks in the NHL can be mayhem. I think you might see a little bit of that until the line shake out, until the real game plan does. But, man, I think that Calgary's still in a good position, especially, you know, like we said, you know, you pick up Kadri and then you by getting rid of the Monahan deal, it's pretty amazing business from Brad Treliving.
Talking to Mike McKenna, former NHL goaltender, now at the Daily Faceoff here on The Big Show. My name is Matt Rose. He's Danny Austin.
Mike, Jacob Markstrom last year was obviously so, so good for so much of the season, but it ended on a bit of a low note, I guess I would say. He was not particularly good at all in that series against the Oilers. Is that something that if you were, you know, a Flames fan or you were here in Calgary, does the way that season ended concern you at all going forward?
Zero concerns with Jacob Markstrom in my eyes, and especially being an old goalie. And this isn't just me sticking up for the goalie union. I think you have to look at this objectively. If you don't want Jacob Markstrom, who are you going to go get? Okay. And that's not to say like you have to ride with what you have and just think, well, this is it. This is all we have. He's the best we can get, blah, blah, blah. No, Jacob Markstrom's an elite goaltender. And I do think that if I were in charge, I would probably push to play Daniel Vladar a little bit more. I think that that would help relieve a bit of stress from Markstrom, who, you know, over the course of his career, there has been kind of a nasty habit of having injuries at bad times and pressure on your body. And I'd like to see Vladar play more often. But you also have a really old school coach in Daryl Sutter who likes to ride one guy and that's it. So I think there's going to be a pushback there. But for me, I think it's just a matter of the team playing the right way. Like, you guys saw how open the Flames played against Edmonton. If you're going to play like that and try to run and gun with the Edmonton Oilers for the first couple games of a playoff series, like, go ahead, man. Try your best. I don't think it's going to work very well. Like, you can't match Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl if you're just going to purely go and try to outscore them. You can't do it. And I think that filtered to Markstrom because he had such a great regular season, and you get to the playoffs, and, you know, it goes pretty well in the first round, but, like, as soon as you face that club in Edmonton, it just felt like it was a deer in the headlights moment where it's like, we've got all this speed coming against us. What can I do? And he probably started to overthink it a little bit. So I have zero concerns with Markstrom, but I'd like to see Vladar take a little bit more of a step forward. And you never know there. You got Dylan Wolf knocking on the door. If Vladar plays well, he becomes a trade chip and you can get something in return for him at the deadline or in the off season if necessary. So that's one solution that I think would kind of help that club.
Totally fair. Moving on from the Flames, I mean, you're saying you're in St. Louis, so I've got to ask. I mean, it does seem like with Jordan Binnington, you know, if you go and not that anyone needs to go read fan blogs, but it does seem like there was a little bit of concern, obviously, about his play last season. What are you expecting from him, and what do the Blues need from him looking forward to the season?
Well, I think the Blues last year were lucky to have Ville Husso play such good hockey. The reality of the situation was that took pressure off of Binnington for him to be able to find himself in the middle of the season. And at the start of the year, people forget that Binnington played a solid month and a half of really, really good hockey to start last season. I mean, really good hockey. And he was covering up a lot of the deficiencies of the Blues defense at the time. And they'd been missing a left side defender all season long. They finally picked up Nick Leddy towards the trade at the trade deadline, which was a big help for them. But man, they were giving up a lot on the rush, and Binnington was bailing them out, and it finally caught up with him. And he just lost his mojo for a while. He was chasing the game a bit, and Husso came in and played great. So Husso earned the net for a little while, and it gave Binnington a chance to kind of reassess, sit back, and work his way back in. And I thought by playoffs, Binnington was really good. So I do think that that club in St. Louis will go as Binnington goes in terms of how they play defensively, because they are a pretty fast and skilled team that likes to play up-tempo. They do have a tendency to give up rush chances, and really Bennington's got to be there for it. But I think also he's got a nice safety valve in Thomas Greiss. That was a good signing for the Blues, I think. But if Bennington doesn't play at above-average level, the Blues are a mediocre team. The Blues need above-average goaltending to be a great team. They need great goaltending to be a winner. And I thought by the end of the season, the structure that Binnington played with and the confidence that he was playing with, if he can carry that into this season, that bodes well for St. Louis.
Interesting. And just one more from me. Just looking big picture, the Avs, I mean, they weren't just kind of Stanley Cup champions. They were a little bit of a juggernaut last year. Looking at this offseason, do you feel like the gap has closed at all? Have any teams are there teams
that
look?
I think it,
yeah, I'll let you go.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a chance for that, for sure. I mean, Colorado's a team that is an absolute juggernaut, up and down the lineup. But, man, I think they're going to miss Kadri an awful lot. And I think they're going to miss Darcy Kemper more than people realize. Because the narrative was that, well, they could have won with anybody in goal. And you know what? It's kind of right. But especially during the regular season, Kemper was a lot better than people realize or give him credit for. And I am not sold on Alexander Georgiev. In my eyes, his game has gone downhill every season in the NHL. It's going to take a big reboot for him to find number one status in the league. I think Pavel Francouz may end up playing more games than Georgiev when it comes down to it there. But when you look at that number two slot for centerman with the Avalanche, Kadri played a huge role, especially in the series against St. Louis. He was the better player on the ice, matched up against Ryan O'Reilly often, and his line was able to beat them. So, you know, who's going to step up and fill that role? They just picked up Evan Rodriguez on a short-term deal for $2 million. Maybe he's going to factor in third line, fourth line, but I think there's a little bit of uncertainty at center ice with that team, but they're so deep and they're still within the window and they still have some friendly contracts. McKinnon, I mean, he's still on a good deal. So I think that that's a club that should be as good next year. But if it comes down to it, if they're not quite to the level, I would look to goaltending, and I'd look to that center depth to see who's picked up the slack for Kadri.
Mike, you mentioned it off the top. You're going to be doing a little bit of writing later today as another piece coming for Daily Faceoff, and you've had some doozies so far in September, and I wanted to ask you about, I just loved this headline that you have. Why does House of the Dragons have Mike McKenna pining for his days in NHL dressing rooms and playing Mario Kart? Can you explain without any Game of Thrones spoilers?
So here's the gist of it, man. When I retired, I'm like, I'll be fine. I'm ready to retire. You know, I'll miss the locker room, but I'll have a locker room. I'm still going to play hockey with friends. But I don't spend the same amount of time in a locker room. And I really found that what I was missing was just the conversation. You know, you spend so much time in there just talking about things and connecting with people and drawing parallels to different lives, you know, from the rich kids I grew up played with in Connecticut to the cattle ranchers out west from Alberta. Like, it's a wide swath of people in hockey. And I was missing that. And I thought, you know what? I didn't realize there was going to be a connection here, but I loved Game of Thrones, and I really wanted to watch House of the Dragon when it came out. And so I rounded up the troops in the neighborhood, and I just started calling in everybody. I was like, hey, let's get a watch party going. And, you know, we had 7 or 8 of us a couple weeks ago, and we paused the show a couple times to talk about it. And it just really felt similar to kind of the locker room, you know, little discussions, mm-hmm. side discussions, hanging out. And that's the community feeling that you really have there and you want to foster And it was not that dissimilar to, I mentioned Mario Kart, like 2010, 2011, dude, Mario Kart was the rage. We all had Wii's, like the teams I played on, mm-hmm. we'd get online at night and play, and we'd come in the locker room the next day just screaming at each other. Like guys are on the verge of fistfights over red shells and banana peels. And like that was kind of the fun stuff that I missed, that even something as simple as hosting a viewing party for a TV show, I got that feeling back a little bit. You know, I'm just looking around at everybody enjoying themselves and getting to know one another. And it was pretty cool. Like, so we've been doing it every Sunday night since on for House of the Dragon.
Now, you're a proud papa as well. So I got to ask, do you ever, you know, take the kids for a spin on the old track, maybe on a Switch at this point, and just kind of show them how the old man used to do it?
Oh, I've been just dusting my daughters, man.
Yes.
So we still have the Wii. We'll play that occasionally, but they do like to play it on their Switches. My daughters are 6 and 9. They love to play Mario Kart. I tell you what, my 6-year-old is a whiz on that thing. So it kind of makes me nervous that she might pick up the old McKenna traits of being a driver. My dad was a race car driver on an amateur level, a little bit professionally, and I raced karts some. So like, I'm hoping my daughters stick with hockey and don't get into racing, because if you think that hockey is an expensive like hobby and sport for kids, try to pick up racing, man. That's a whole different ball game. So I think I'm going to try to keep them just limited to the Nintendo Wii and the Switch that's in their hands, because my billfold, dude, I did not spend enough time in the NHL to be able to afford two of those sports for these kids.
Yes, fair enough. And I will say I'm a big proponent of no mercy against children. You got to teach them that, hey, life ain't easy sometimes.
That's right. I'm on to that too, man. They got to earn it. If they're going to beat me, they better bury me with a blue shell, man, because I'm coming for them.
I love it. What are you writing about today? Give us a little tease.
Okay, so I'm going to have a piece out today on 5 goalie prospects to keep your eye on. And one little teaser, one of them will be a Calgary Flames prospect. So keep your eye out for that. It'll be up on Daily Faceoff a little bit later. Some of the play goalies that'll be mostly in the minors and maybe even one or two in college.
Are these just like general intriguing guys to you, or are these kind of like the top 5 goalie prospects that you're looking at?
Yeah, it's a little of both. It's more so the intrigue factor, because I don't like to rank goalies, but you know, I think if you look at one of them I'll be writing about, it's Askarov, who went early, first round pick out of Russia, and had a really tough World Juniors last past season. And so to me, that's just a really curious guy to keep an eye on there and kind of dive in a little bit on him. So there's some intrigue factor, but for the most part, these are all blue chip prospects that we would all expect to see eventually in the NHL.
And do you guys have your kind of fall slate set for Daily Faceoff? You're going to be hopping on the Daily Pods with Frank and everything like that?
Yeah, we'll be right back to doing our streaming show every day during the week, Monday to Friday, runs at 12 o'clock Eastern time. And I'm on there typically 2 to 3 times a week, and another rotating cast of characters that join myself and Frank. And we just sit there and ham it up at about the NHL and all things hockey. And we'll do that. We'll have our podcast like usual. And of course, all the written pieces that go along with it at Daily Faceoff. We do full content now. We're not just a fantasy website. If anything happens in the NHL, we do have it covered at Daily Faceoff.
Mike, can I just ask quickly? I was just looking at your Wikipedia. Did you know that the only thing listed under personal life for you is that you are a big fan of the Swedish death metal band Amon Amarth? I don't know how to say that.
Yeah, I know that. I know this because you're probably the 500th person who's told me that.
that doesn't surprise you. That's wild.
I put that in myself.
You did put it in yourself. Okay.
I did not. I am in a music video for them, for a song called Raise Your Horns from Anamarth. It's Viking metal, I'd like to say. But yeah, I love that band. I have no idea how it made it to my Wikipedia page. But yeah, they are my favorite, and they're a bunch of good dudes, and a lot of them play hockey as well.
That's awesome.
These lyrics are quite something. My goodness. Victory. We fought hard and prevailed. Brutally, we were fighting. We might have to give this a little spin in our next segment, Mike. Might have to get a little Amon Amarth on the show today. Thanks for taking a little bit of your time as well.
I'm happy to join. I got my metal horns raised high in the sky right now. I appreciate the shout on that. So everybody have a great day. It was great talking with you.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, Mike. Really appreciate it. That is Mike McKenna from the Daily Faceoff, former NHL netminder, doing some writing As you heard him say, they got the fantasy covered. They've got all the daily shows. They got one of the best insiders, Frank Saravalli, who I can, little tease, probably coming back. I don't want to say when, but it looks like he's coming back. Looks like he's going to join us for another season. So that's awesome. And really enjoyed that chat with Mike. His pieces are so good. And they're always, they can be a little whimsical at times, like the Game of Thrones one, like the Mario Party one. But on the same token, he can also write, you know, goaltending prospects. He wrote a story about the contract structure for the Ottawa Senators after the signing of Tim Stützle and the notion of players being paid for what they will do rather than what they have done as they start to get these big money deals out of ELCs. Also a very good read, but didn't intrigue me like the Game of Thrones stuff did.
It really felt like we weren't going to catch that guy off guard with a question. He was ready, he was ready for anything we were going to throw at him. Smart guy.
So raise your horns and on to the next. What you want to talk about coming up? He joined us, he being Mike, down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, 14-time Consumer Choice Award winner for takeout or delivery. Go ahead and call 403-248-3344 or dine in at Atlas Pizza, 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. Quick break. We'll be back around the corner. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. If you go look at Mike McKenna's bio on Wikipedia, you'll find out that he's a big fan of Amon Amarth, and he actually appeared in the music video for Raise Your Horns.
It's the only thing listed in his personal life.
It's not my cup of tea, Danny.
It's not for me.
It's not for me.
It's not for me at all. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be worse.
I thought it was going to be worse, too.
Yeah. Like, that was sort of, if you were to say...
I hoped it was going to be better, but I thought it was going to be worse.
If you were to say, what do I think inoffensive Swedish death metal sounded like, it would probably be like what we just listened to.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, I don't know much about Scandinavian death metal. Never have.
Well, they're a melodic death metal band from Tumba, so that's what I know about them.
It's that genre doesn't feel like something like... I've always felt that, like, there will come a point in my life... Like, opera is not for me, but maybe when I'm old, it seems like older people like opera, so I'll age into it. I don't think I'm going to age into Swedish death metal.
The band takes its name from the Sindarin name of Mount Doom, which you would know as a volcano in J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle Earth. Their lyrics mostly deal with Viking mythology and history, and so they have been sometimes erroneous labeled Viking metal, although the band insists they play melodic death metal.
Who would have thought those were different things?
Yeah, that's one of those things when you get into subgenres.
Yeah,
and you like?
You think the Flames Swedish Mafia loves Amon Amarth?
You know what,
Markstrom? You think they're all, you know?
I don't think so.
I think we know what we're gonna ask them if we get to see them at the golf tournament.
Like, you guys listen to Amon Amarth?
Can you just?
What are your thoughts on Viking metal versus melodic death metal? What do you think, Michael Backlund?
Can you fire that song up again for a second, there, Brody? Because like I'm just trying to imagine Elias Lindholm and
there's
Jacob
no way
Markstrom
Elias
out.
Lindholm in particular listens to.
Oh, I know Shillington loves this.
Shillington loves Swedish House Mafia.
He does not
love Amon Amarth. Like, you imagine Lindholm and Markstrom listening to this out on the boat when they're trying to catch fish?
Scare them away.
I don't think you're catching anything. I think you bring up a great point. You're not catching anything. You're going to scare it away. Uh-huh. I think you got to be kind of quiet out there, so I don't know. Now, Swedish House Mafia.
You think that attracts the fish?
Also,
just quickly note that after Brett Lowry, this is the second day in a row that in the 8:30 half-hour segment, we've talked about going out there on some boats and doing some fishing.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, it's sure.
Becoming part of our repertoire.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's not for me. And I don't think that the Swedish team, no, I think it's going to be a little bit more of probably like the EDM, the Swedish type of EDM.
I would assume so, but the truth is I don't like and this is on me. This is my responsibility, but I don't know. I mean, like, is there Swedish hip hop? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's probably. Let's see. Swedish hip hop. Okay, we're going down the Google hole. Here we go. This is what you want at 8:30, folks. I know this is exactly
text line
what
is gonna
you're
going to be loving
here.
Us.
Okay, emerging in the first half of the 1980s, originated in Stockholm and Malmo. That would make sense. They usually performed in English. Notable artists. That's what we're looking for. Lesinner, Rebstar, Loop Troop, Young Lean. I didn't know Young Lean was Swedish. That's a name I recognize.
His name's Jonathan Aaron Leandor Hostad.
So that's why he gets the lean from. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that, like, everybody, you can do hip-hop. Like, we have Canadian hip-hop. What's the Mercules up from Red Deer? That dude throws down. Shout out Mercules.
Shout out Mercules. Should ask Elias Lindholm about Mercules.
I don't know. I'm not going to do that.
No, that's not the direction we're going.
Nope, I'm not going to do that. Guaranteed. Boys, Lindy is an EDM guy. His girlfriend, Annika, is a Swedish DJ.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Well, neat. Would you look at that? Coming in from the text line with a little bit of a... I think my favorite part of Elias Lindholm is his middle name is Zebulon, but also very interesting. Annika, I'm trying to find this. I need you to help me pick up some slack here so I can try and find Annika.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. We've stretched my knowledge of just Swedish music in general to the limit here. Thought we've done well, just vamping, trying to give you. Some time to...
I searched Annika, Swedish DJ Lindholm, and I got just a bunch of pictures of Avicii. So that's not it. So we'll continue to look. Ace of Base is Swedish?
Yeah,
I mean, like, ABBA's Swedish. Like, there's some pretty famous Swedish musicians over there.
Hammerfall's a Swedish metal band, but they're not like Amon Amarth. You can actually... They're power metal. You can hear what they're actually saying.
Now, do we know for sure if they're power metal? Have we asked the band?
They are power metal. For sure.
Mm. So sick. Amon Amarth rips. Someone has thrown in the three devil hands on that text as well. Very excited. Little Swedish death metal. A distinction without a difference. That's a good way to put it.
Wow. That was on the text line?
Yeah, as far as like the difference between...
it was beautifully said. Shout out to Viking, whoever said that.
Viking metal and melodic death metal. There's a distinct difference.
Which is nice, because I expected the feedback that we'd be getting from the text line to be, like, wildly negative on this last 7 or 8 minutes we've done. So, it's good that...
Tovlo is from Sweden, but I think her name is... I know it's Tov... I don't know. She said it was different.
Does some good stuff with Flume. That's my favorite.
Bass Hunter is Swedish.
Oh, no.
Remember Eagle-Eyed Cherry? I did not know. He's Swedish.
Eagle-Eyed Cherry is not Swedish.
I just Googled music artists from Sweden. He is born in Stockholm.
Save Tonight. Classic.
Yeah. Oh, that's a banger.
I mean, you're literally the first line is that he is a Swedish singer, stage performer. I never would have guessed that. Wow.
I need more.
I mean, well, no, I can't
Rednecks,
tell.
Rednecks, remember Cotton Eye Joe? They're Swedish.
I mean,
That feels like a lie.
I'm sure they have like a rich cultural and musical tapestry in Sweden. I think we're finding that out. I just didn't necessarily know this distinction between Viking metal and melodic death metal.
Someone I know at shows at Amon Amarth, they do the Viking rowing. They get a bunch of guys in a line. They just do like this rowing.
Oh,
it's hilarious.
Yeah, this is the new track that someone has sent to us. So apparently this individual's kids are doing some power skating lessons, and the teacher is Swedish, and the teacher is playing one of my absolute favorite EDM songs by Axwell E. Ingrosso. Ooh, that came in a bit hot. But this one is an absolute banger. Mm-hmm. Volbeat is Swedish.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Death Clock. It's an important L in there. That's some Scandinavian death metal that we're getting some love for.
Did you know that Eagle Eye Cherry in 2012 was on The Voice of Romania, which I assume is The Voice
in Romania?
In Romania. Yeah.
Does it still have Blake Shelton?
I mean, I can look up.
You don't think so?
I mean,
you're going to look it up?
I'm looking at the coaches, and I wouldn't say that it's anyone you would immediately recognize.
Are you sure? All right, turn it up a bit. All right, that's enough of that. We've probably played enough music that we can't put this on the podcast anymore, but that's too bad. Let's just get right into it. What you want to talk about, it's brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Because you know what, Danny? The hunting season is here, and the hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.
What you want? 960-960.
Send us a text and we will react. The Mike guy is a keeper. Book a regular slot, please. That being Mike McKenna from Daily Faceoff. You got that, Patty?
Got it. Mike. We'll get Mike.
Write that down. That'd be Amon Amarth Rips. Yep. Swedish death metal. I picture the chef from the Muppets slamming his pots and pans. Your boy Callie was down with the metal.
Okay.
The text line's really coming through today.
The boy Callie.
Stuff.
Markstrom will be down with it. Kipper was a huge death metal guy.
That doesn't surprise me.
We have a little bit of a lead here as far as the DJ girlfriend that is Elias Lindholm, Annika. We got a last name. We're going to look into that. Maybe share some of her tracks coming up. The Cardigans are Swedish. Sure.
Cardigans are a great band.
I named my dogs Axwell and Ingrosso. That'd be Swedish House Mafia is a banger. Volbeat is Volbeat is from Denmark. We had a lot of people mad that we said they are Swedish.
I don't think I said that.
Who back there said they were Swedish?
I said okay. I didn't say they were. I said okay, but Denmark's also Scandinavia. Close enough.
Could you guys talk about like NFL or something? Trying not to be a hater right now, but it's getting hard.
That's fair. I mean, we spent a good 2 hours basically talking about NFL to start, but again, I think we were all intrigued by the decision to kick a 64-yard field goal instead of...
Yeah, you know, you give up all those assets to get Russell Wilson. It's 4th and 5. There's 20 seconds left on the clock, and you say, no, it's 64-yarder from, yeah, let's do it. No problem.
Jerry Jones thinks Dak will only miss a month.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't look great with Dak in, but I suppose that's good news.
Yeah, like, he wasn't very good before he left, right? Like, we all acknowledge that.
But obviously, they're better with him.
Yes, that's also true. This song is like a FIFA game menu, that being More Than You Know. Less sports, more Marty reading French. Don't want to do that for anybody. Danny, how are the Raps going to do?
I think that they are going to take another step, and it's not necessarily going to correspond to them rising in the standings in any meaningful way. But I think right now, with what Scotty Barnes showed last year, you're building towards his sort of third or fourth year. And I really like the pieces we have around him, but he's the franchise now.
This person is a humongous fan of Patty Dumas. This is exactly what we want. I already listened to Decide on my way to work. Dumas' brother frequents my band's shows. Come watch some death metal tonight at the Palomino.
That's rad.
I probably won't.
I do know. Yeah, there's a band at Palomino tonight. I listen to them. And
are you
going to
go?
No, I'm not going because they scare me.
Oh.
They're scary.
Oh, right on.
A good buddy of mine manages the Palomino, so.
Talk about Vietnamese food.
I mean, I love Vietnamese food. I kind of need specific questions. I will.
That's all it says is just talk about Vietnamese food.
Yeah,
so
I mean, who doesn't love pho? You know, one of.
Look at you being so cultured.
Well,
pho.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not pho. It's pho.
I think we can say it right. I will say yesterday for lunch, I was too tired to cook because the adjustment to the early morning wake up was a bit much. I did not go for pho, but I did go to Tokyo Street Market and got their chicken curry donburi, which is exceptional and very, very reasonably priced. So a bit of a piece of advice there if you're looking for some Japanese food.
And we got this. The chef from the Muppets is Swedish. The Swedish chef is from Sweden. We got that a couple times.
Where's he from? Malmo?
Harkadarkadark. I don't know. Can you translate
I'm not
that?
Going along with this. I love Sweden.
This just says, who the hell are you guys? My name's Matt Rose. He's Danny Austin. I'm going to be here for the foreseeable future. Danny's in for a week.
Yeah.
Maybe another. Listen,
I plan to make it through the week.
Listen, guys.
I'm scheduled to be here until Friday.
I'm going
to
tell you this. We have some plans on the fall lineup. They're in the works. You will be informed as to what is coming sooner rather than later. We do have a plan, although from the outside, it may appear that we don't. But we certainly have a plan, and we're just finalizing a few things before we can let everybody else in on it. So please, if you're worried, listen, it's going to be okay. Flame season is coming up. We got the Young Stars in Penticton this weekend. And yes, to the texter who did reach out, yes, preseason games are coming up for the Flames. I want to say it's the 23rd of September is their first preseason game. It's on a Sunday. And we've got the Young Stars tournament actually coming up this weekend. So it is going to be Friday night. 7:30, the Flames Young Stars will play the Vancouver Young Stars. Saturday, 7:30, the Flames Young Stars will play the Oilers Young Stars. And then on Monday at 11 a.m., it'll be the Flames Young Stars against the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, and as far as this goes, I did just check because I was curious because I have to pay attention to this as someone who does.
It is the 23rd, right?
The 25th is the split squad game, so half in Vancouver, half here. And then the 27th, the first official exhibition game, is against Seattle, at Seattle. And then the 28th would be the first home preseason game, which is against the Oilers.
Why do the Flames always seem like they play the most preseason games? Daryl made this a big deal last year that too many, it feels like.
Well, they have to play like a minimum of four, I think,
but
is
then,
the
like,
NHL.
Last year they had five like on eight or nine last year. They had a stupid amount last year, more than any other team, I believe.
Yeah, and especially when you look at the guys that played, like, Gabranson and Zadorov had played like a dozen games before the season started. My goodness.
Like, do we need the Kraken twice? You got the Jets twice, you got the Oilers twice, and you got a split with the Canucks. I get the split squad, but, like, I don't know. Just seems too much. We just want to get the season right.
That's it.
Because we're still a month. Here's again. 1 month from tonight.
Wow, that's
Avs,
correct.
Flames.
Holy, it's already the 13th of September. My goodness.
I mean, I think the point, though, is that we are sort of right around the corner, like days, not weeks away from, you know, there being Flame stuff that's actually happening and you know, news to report on and things to talk about. Sort of exciting.
This says, Maddie, Josh, you guys are rocking it. I don't know who Josh
Who's
is.
Josh?
But
we'll go by Josh. I'll take the compliment.
We appreciate
Josh. Austin.
This one does say, love Danny Austin on the morning show. More stamps and CFL talk, please. You going to practice today?
I will see you in about 2 hours.
I won't be there.
You won't?
Oh, you're not going to go together?
I have an event. I have that.
Ah, event. Yeah.
We've got the Flames Charity Golf Tournament coming up Wednesday. Danny and I are going to be live from Country Hills Golf Course broadcasting and chatting with some of the Flames and some of the particulars around the team as they get set for training camp. And they've got some sort of luncheon later today that I'm very much looking forward to.
Do you get free lunch?
I better. I don't know. It's, if even if I don't, I'm just going to be happy to be there and very happy to get an invite. Do we know when Flames tickets go on sale? We got this twice today.
I think the preseason ones are already on sale.
I know the preseason tickets are on sale. They just went on sale, I want to say, over the weekend.
Yeah, they did.
But I don't believe the regular season tickets are on sale.
So if you are looking for that October 13th game, mm-hmm. well, no, it looks like pretty much September 23rd is, according to the Flames website, when regular season single game tickets become available.
So 10 days from now.
Yes.
Perfect.
But and that's completely official. But you can obviously buy preseason currently. And then, mark that one down, September 23rd, if you're looking. I don't know if that's for the entire season, although
that's
I assume
for
it
the
is.
Entire so, season, September 23rd.
So, there you go. I don't know if that's breaking news, but I like, news you can use.
Yeah, exactly.
What is your go-to Vietnamese place?
So I live in Sunnyside, so mm-hmm. I'm a couple blocks off away from Kensington. And do I know the name of the place? No, but I go to the place across from the Safeway on 10th there.
It's probably called like Vietnamese Deli or Vietnamese Subs. It's typically the name.
And I'm looking it up.
we'll end here. This person was listening yesterday, or else they caught the Instagram. Where we showed what we were wearing yesterday. We were talking about the show on Instagram. Was it a story, Alex Brody? Did you make it a story or a post?
Yeah, Instagram story.
Okay, right on. This person just texted in, "Hey, Danny, can I bum a dart?"
I that's like the second person who has been like, "Wow, you that outfit makes you look like a smoker," and I don't know what to say about it.
Is the place called Fa House?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah. So I am using Bing's because that's what I have access to on this computer. I am using the Bing mapping function to try to figure it out, and it didn't come up. So thank you
for
finding
that. Well,
that's
your own damn problem. You're using Bing. It's like throwing 30 seconds of your life down
the
chute.
It's the default browser on the computer that is in front of me.
But seriously, can I bomb a dart?
We're not talking about this.
See you tomorrow, buddy. What you want to talk about? Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Blair and Barker coming at you around the corner. Just got their a rundown sent to me. Of course, they are going to be discussing the game yesterday. There were some warnings tossed out as that game got a little bit heated. They'll discuss that. They've got the Rays TV host and analyst coming on the show. Nate Pearson set to join the program. Of course, a longtime, highly touted prospect of the Blue Jays. Injuries really derailed his career. Now with the Buffalo Bisons and now healthy-ish, he's going to join the show in their second hour. So that's all coming up on Blair and Barker, and we're going to have that all before we bring in the Blue Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays at 11 o'clock. Alek Manoah taking to the mound for Toronto as they play a doubleheader today. After the Jays are done, it's Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon, and then it's Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Logo. That'll go from 3 to 5, then it'll be the second half of that doubleheader with the Jays and the Rays. We have seen as well, the Blue Jays have recalled Mitch White from AAA, so we do expect him to make a start in the second half of today's doubleheader in the Rays, most likely doing a bullpen day. Finally, just wanted to let you know, we did get a little bit of a update on Dak Prescott. This just coming down the wire, Dak Prescott could return within the next 4 games, as per Jerry Jones. Interesting. Cowboys aren't done yet.
It's a broken thumb, is it not?
I have no idea. Didn't he like karate chop a helmet? I don't know.
Twice he got hit by somebody's hands through the follow-through of the throw.
My bones don't heal that fast.
Very sure. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Blair and Barker's next, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.